Welcome, and thanks for listening to Intrinsic Investigations. My name is Mr. Olivo, and I created this podcast because I've been fortunate enough over the last decade to see unique and thought-provoking projects happen in my classroom, and we wanted a place to showcase them. The true heart of this podcast lies not in the content discovered, but in exploring the personal stories of these young researchers as they journey through uncharted and unfamiliar intellectual terrain. By sharing their stories, we hope to normalize the challenges and frustrations that come with independent research, and also share those moments where students transcend the normal grind of the school day to discover concepts that range from the global to deeply personal. We will begin with a brief introduction to the student of focus, why they pick their topic, and discuss their growth over the course of the last year. It should be mentioned that the opinions expressed in this podcast in no way reflect the opinions of our school district, Bergen County Technical Schools and Special Services, or our school itself, Bergen County Technical High School Teterboro, or the College Board. The work detailed in this podcast was most likely completed in AP Capstone, but this podcast is in no way affiliated with the College Board. Last year, we had, I think, four projects that had to do with artificial intelligence. This year, we had one. And Andrew is going to introduce himself, and then we will get a bit more into what his project was about. So, Andrew, tell us who you are and what you'd like to do with your spare time, because I think that might come into play here as we discuss artificial intelligence.
Yeah, my name is Andrew Pan. I'm a junior in computer science. And although my major might not suggest it, I spend a lot of my time writing. I'm currently editing a novel. So, yeah, that might be relevant in a couple of minutes.
Any indication as to what the novel is about, or the audience has to wait until this is out?
Yeah, y'all got to wait till I publish it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. He's going to keep you hanging in suspense, as any good writer would. Andrew, like I said, last year I think we had, even just a cohort of 13 students, we had three projects that centered around artificial intelligence, primarily in a social and political context. This year we had 33 students. Yours is the only one that's coming to mind that was very much focused on artificial intelligence in the creative process. So do you want to explain what your work was about to the listeners, so they get an idea for where this conversation is about to go?
Sure. So my research was very specifically focused on whether an AI model can write character development in like a fictional narrative on the same caliber as human writers can. Because AI has slowly been getting better and better at a lot of other aspects in the creative process, but character writing, as far as I could tell in my process, it wasn't comprehensively understood as far like how far AI models could were capable of executing it. So that was like, for such an important aspect of fictional writing, I thought that was something that I should look into and research.
How did you try to standardize character development? Because that can take many shapes and forms. So how did you approach that?
So there's a lot of different ways you could do it. You could do like a behavioral analysis, which I initially did look into. But a behavioral analysis is pretty complicated. You have to understand you have to psychologically measure whether behavior determines change. And so I instead settled on using story structures that are specifically focused on like how the character changes over time in a narrative. And I settled on the hero's journey, the Joseph Campbell's hero's journey monomyth, which is a very, very universal story structure that kind of maps out the development of a character over the course of a story.
And that was, so the monomyth was your standardization process.
Essentially, yes. Yeah.
You have the monomyth. You have your understanding that AI is getting better. Sometimes, it seems gradual, but sometimes there's updates where it gets almost exponentially better at writing. What were you trying to see, or how are you comparing human writing with AI writing in your project?
So I was just scoring them based off of the hero's journey. So the hero's journey is composed of 12 stages, and what I was doing was I was generating, so I first selected some human written narratives, some three books in this case, and then I generated a handful of AI written narratives, and then I would compare I would score the two based on how well they adhere to the hero's journey, because the hero's journey is about the development of the, you know, the hero. And then based on the average adherence scores out of 12, because 12 stages of the hero's journey, I would determine whether the AI or the human writers were doing better in terms of character development.
So to give the audience some context, stage one is...
Stage one is the ordinary world. It's just like, you know, the setup of the story. It's the initial personality and behavior of the protagonist.
In their,
yeah,
for lack of a better term, natural habitat.
It's like in Avatar The Last Airbender, it's like Aang in the air temples.
Or Luke Skywalker hanging out on Tatooine.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You know, there might not be Avatar, well-versed Avatar people here, so we'll throw it back to the 70s.
Yep.
All right, so then if you saw that in the AI-generated story outline, you would give it like a score?
So the way I did it is, like, obviously not everything will be presented like evenly. Like, you're not like, even if you like the way I did it, I generated a 12 section outline, and then each section I had the AI generate two scenes. But even like, obviously there's not going to be an even distribution of every stage. Like, section one isn't just going to be stage one all the time.
True,
so
yeah.
It could be stage one and stage two. It could be stage one, stage two, stage three. So what I did is I just scored it based on whether it presented the stages in order. Like, if like in one case, like if it would present stage five before it presented stage three, it would lose 1 point.
All right. And stage five would be?
Stage five is...
I don't know if you know off the top of your head.
Hold on. So it's the ordinary world, call to adventure, refusal to call, meeting the mentor... Crossing the threshold.
Crossing the threshold,
yeah.
Would be coming before meeting the mentor.
Yeah, so if something like that happened where there was like one stage of the hero's journey that occurred before a prerequisite one, that would lose the narrative 1 point out of 12.
What did your prompts look like to get... Because you were getting story outlines, right?
Yeah.
That's how we're...
So, yeah, and so I would generate a story outline first. I would generate a 12-section story outline for the AI, and then based on that outline that I generated, it would generate a full narrative.
Okay, so you were actually making the outline.
No. Oh. I was giving it a prompt, and then it would generate the narrative.
Okay.
Generate the outline, and then from the outline, generate the narrative.
So the outline that was generated by AI became the prompt for the narrative generation that was also generated by AI?
Yeah, effectively, yeah.
Okay, just making sure I'm following the process here. Over how many months did you do this project?
This project, I think about 4 or 5, something along that time frame.
Okay. And what would you say was the furthest distance between the first prompt you gave and then the last prompt you gave? Did you all do it all in like the same week, or?
I made all the prompts in the same week.
You made it all in
yeah.
the same week. Do you feel like, based on what you saw in terms of the output and how AI has changed over the last, let's say, 4 months, that the responses would have been different had you waited, or had you not done all your prompts at once in that 1 week? Like, let's say you did it over the course of 2 months. Do you think you would have noticed differences in your patterns, or it's hard to tell?
I think there definitely could have been. Like, when I began my project, we were still on ChatGPT 4.0. The latest released model was, I think, 0.3 mini. But then, like, over the course of the project, there ended up being, like, ChatGPT 4.5, a bunch of updates to all of the existing models. So I think had I not done all the prompts at the same time, there definitely could have been some variation.
Okay. Well, I guess it's good that you controlled for that variable then by doing it in the first week. In the end, what do you feel like were the biggest takeaways from this project? Like, what did you notice in your comparison of the human-derived literature? You might want to, I guess you could mention those books,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I probably should.
And then and how it compared to what you saw with the AI-generated narratives.
So before we go into that, so the books I read were Red Rising by Pierce Brown, Circe by Madeline Miller, and Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. And as far as I think the comparison went, like, it's very even. Like, the AI is, as far as my analysis could tell, was a little bit worse, but statistical analysis that I did later down the line showed that that difference wasn't super statistically significant, so it really wasn't conclusive whether one was worse or better than the other. So,
worse or better at the other in, like, terms of following the hero, the hero's journey?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, as far as the research goes, even if that was the case, even if one of them was definitively less adherent, I think, like, the difference, I think, was an average of 7%. So,
okay,
it was still very strong character development on the AI's part, I think.
Of those narratives that were generated, was there one that stands out to you as being very human-like or and interesting? Like, were you like, oh, I would love to push that a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. I think the first one I generated, it was about this Formula One driver who got he got into an accident earlier in his career, left the sport, and then entered a different motorsports league. It's kind of like a redemption story.
Okay.
It's like it's a bit like the actual Formula One movie that's coming out, which is pretty funny. But I know. It's a pretty big coincidence.
Or possibly AI wrote a soon to be released blockbuster.
That would be pretty insane.
Yeah.
If Jerry Bruckheimer stole my idea. But so I think that was one of the more interesting ones to read. Not necessarily one of the better ones. I think it scored a 10 out of 12 on adherence to the hero's journey. But it was definitely very human-like. It was like, because especially since the protagonist is coming from a very vulnerable position for a lot of the narrative, it was, I think, like, analysis aside, I think it was just like a very well-written, very relatable narrative.
As a writer, when you see something like that, how does that make you feel?
A little worried. If I'm being honest.
Okay, yeah.
It's definitely very quality writing. Like, if you put in next to mine, like, obviously the AI, an AI doesn't have my idea. It doesn't, like, if you give the AI a prompt, it won't return what you want to see with 100% fidelity. Mm-hmm. But it's really, like, if you're trying to come up with a story, like, you have an idea and you want something to be created, I think AI is really unmatched in that way, because, like, instead of expending literally a year or more of effort to write your own book or your own novel, you could just ask ChatGPT to do it, and it can give you something that's still very high quality.
We'll dig a little bit deeper into the implications in a moment, but we're about halfway into the interview. What I just want to go back again, like, what would you say were the major findings from your comparison of these human and AI generated narratives? Like, what's the biggest takeaway or conclusion from your analysis and comparison of how well they followed the hero's journey structure?
So I would say the overall takeaway, the ultimate conclusion, was that AI is either able to match humans, or it's very close to being able, I would say.
In terms of following traditional Joseph Campbell monomyth.
Which is, like, it may be traditional, but it's very, very applicable. Extremely common.
Yeah, I don't mean to have a negative connotation there. Just because it's traditional, George Lucas is a billionaire because he basically just used that monomyth and he put it in space. I'll keep my Star Wars feelings aside, but the implications of what you just said, then, how does this impact writers, screenwriters, just writers in general? Like, what is the point of being a writer right now if you're a human being?
So I think implications, there was this one source I found. It was, like a coalition of creatives, like creative workers, all like from like an international coalition. And they predicted in 2023 that over the course of the next 5 years, so up to 2028, if there weren't any regulations placed as far as artificial intelligence in like the film industry or the music industry, mm-hmm. the creative industry as a whole could lose up to like $24 billion. So obviously AI has already been pretty good at a lot of other important parts of creative writing. So their ability to match humans in character development, I think it kind of just adds to their like growing capability. So like on its own, I don't think, or on like in tandem with all of the other development that that artificial intelligence has seen over the past couple of years, I don't think character writing on its own changes anything that much, but it really just does show that AI is slowly growing capable of matching humans as far as creating literature goes.
And as someone who creates literature, you mentioned before it's a bit unnerving, but why do you enjoy creating literature? Do you feel like this AI is taking, it could potentially take something for you that you see as an outlet, or like what is the purpose of writing in your life?
So I don't write because I'm trying to make money, although, you know, definitely could be something.
That could be. But, yeah.
But I personally I don't particularly like to see it. I don't like to see something that I believe is inherently human. To be creative is, I think, inherently human.
I agree.
And just have it be automated, because like I don't think you can automate creativity. But like as long as humans stay creative, I don't think, like, even if like the industry does become saturated with people using artificial intelligence, there's just that human creativity, that human authenticity that I don't think can ever really be replicated. So like I won't ever stop, and I don't think other people who are into creative like output themselves will stop either. They'll just be putting their work out into a world where there's work that's not as authentic as theirs.
Because those creative fields can be, so it could be music, as you mentioned before. It could be creative writing. It could be artwork. The way that AI is being used, I mean, we've got programs like Midjourney doing, you know, the visual side of things. You have Suno.ai mm-hmm. that's doing the musical side of things. It's just pouring out content at a time when there's more content than there's ever been in human history. It's how much more saturated can it get? I mean, I'm just putting that question out there. But do you feel like right now, as a teenager, how much content are you even capable of consuming in a day, and can you even consume more?
So that's like an interesting outlook. It's like, is like, if AI is already so prominent, like, it does more and better AI really change anything? But I think it does. I recently watched this show called Landman, right? It's a very, very good show. It's on Paramount. It's about this oil company in like the Permian Basin in Texas, and it was written by Taylor Sheridan. So like this show is, I think, like it's just a 10 out of 10 overall. And I'm really not sure whether, like, because like there might come a day when we have a Landman equivalent in like 2 or 3 years where it's not written by Taylor Sheridan. It's actually written by Taylor Sheridan, who's running on the ChatGPT API.
Right.
But as far as like big industry productions like that go, I don't think we've seen the full extent of artificial intelligence. And we might not, because regulations might prevent more artificial intelligence from seeping into the creative industry like that. But I don't think we've seen the full reach of AI into all content yet.
Yeah. And you've mentioned now regulations twice. In your work, did you come across any scholarly sources or news reporting on proposed regulation? Because that's something I'm familiar with. I'm not familiar with. And I'm just wondering if you came across anything that's, is there definitive regulation coming out in industry or governmentally to try to regulate this?
I didn't do a whole lot of research on it, but as far as I can tell, there's not a lot of regulation very close on the horizon. it's all, I think, still kind of in the, it's kind of still in the works, because the like the impact of artificial intelligence on the film industry is still not super clear. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like theoretically, like I said, you could use it to you could use it to write a whole screenplay, right? But can you really get like do like people want to see like I'm using TV shows as an example here, but people want to see good acting. People want to see like they don't just want to see good writing. They want to see good acting. There's still so many human parts in the machine that I don't think AI can totally replace. And because of that, I think the talks on regulations aren't really so far in yet, because I think a lot of people think humans still have a lot of agency over what they do with their own creative output.
Yeah, that's to me, this seems to be where I'm personally stuck with AI is there don't seem to be many regulations in place at all, and I'm worried that we're going to hit a point where we cross a particular line where those regulations aren't even going to matter anymore. Let's say you mentioned Paramount before with Landman. Let's say you have this first major production company to allow AI creation of content, and they see that they can make engaging television for very cheap in terms of like writing staff, still maybe have the real actors, but they can make this for very cheap, and then other corporations who produce content are just like, okay, let's hop on that too, like if they're having success there. I don't know if you feel the same way about that.
It's definitely a concerning potential reality, because it could easily happen with how good AI is at creative writing nowadays. But I think there's still a bit of a stopgap, because people like there's a kind of a stigma against using, you know, quote unquote AI slop, mm-hmm. like instead of actually doing something yourself, because it just kind of feels like the lazy way out. But like, you never know, like what if the quality is just so good that people recognize it as something other than that? What if people actually, there's also, I think, a point in quality where even if it's AI generated, it's so good that people have to recognize it for what it's worth.
Well, obviously AI is here, and if it seems like you have reservations about it being used in creative, creative context, as do I, and I'll be upfront about that. Where do you see AI as having a place then? Do you feel like it is an invention that should be continued to be used? And if so, what areas would it be most beneficial in?
I think AI is like, even if it is kind of a looming threat to like the creative industry and a lot of industries as a whole,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Not just creative industry.
I would say, you know, we're halfway into the decade. I would say it's probably been like the most critical development of the 2020s.
I agree.
But
I would even say even in education.
Yeah, like its influence absolutely is huge. But I wouldn't say like stopping its use is a good idea. In fact, I would say it's a pretty bad idea, because like the value it offers, even as an assistant, like even if like you still had like a human director, but you wanted to, he or she wanted to, you know, augment their production in some way or form. Like, I feel like using artificial intelligence as like an augmentation, or like an augmentation or an assistant, I feel like that's the best way to use it, because you get the benefit without totally replacing yourself. I think as far as creative, like as far as, you know, professions and industries where the human element actually matters, I think that's probably the best way to go about it. For like, you know, the financial industry or like other, you know, areas where it's less important to have humans dictating things because it's all about the numbers, I think putting AI in the driver's seats there isn't such a bad idea.
It's funny that you say that, because that is where my head's typically at when you're talking about analyzing for patterns and huge collections of data. In my mind, it's like, well, what's the difference between using AI to do that and programming it with code somehow to find those trends as well? At the same time, being critical of whatever the output is, but in terms of economic modeling or climate modeling, you're talking about huge sets of data that a human being is obviously not going to analyze without the aid of some kind of computer tool. So why not push that into the AI direction?
Right. It's like, I think it's just like the next logical step, right? Like you had like, you know, the old fashioned floppy disks, with like the computers back in like the 1900s. And now we have Apple Silicon. We have like all these NVIDIA. We have all of these NVIDIA GPUs that are powering the servers of ChatGPT. Like, I think it's just the next logical step in the evolution of computing.
So then if every technology is a bridge to another form of technology, I like how you said in the 1900s, because I can remember in 1990 having a floppy disk. So I'm now lumped in with people who existed in 1903 based on that adjective there.
Yep.
But it's like, then what comes next? And neither you nor I have the answer to this, but like, smartphones aren't going to be forever. Neither was like the ham radio was like all the rage in the early 1900s, but now people barely use radio at all. So in 100 years, AI and smartphones are going to be ancient if humans are still around. Do you have any ideas of what these things are bridging toward?
Could definitely speculate. Like, my dad actually was talking about quantum computing, and right now, all these artificial intelligence servers that train ChatGPT and the other large language models, they run on very high end GPUs, think NVIDIA GPUs, but as soon as you bring something like quantum computing into the equation, that like the computing power just like skyrockets. It just basically blows all the GPUs we currently have out of the water. So I don't know whether like AI might not be around in 100 years, but I personally think it's probably more likely that we see like the next step in AI evolution running on something more advanced, like obviously, I know that sounds pretty obvious, but
no, I mean, yeah, like on more of like a quantum computing model,
yeah, on like just like a more advanced computing, basically.
It would be strange if AI created the framework for that.
You know, maybe it could.
You don't know. That would be interesting. Any last words as we wrap up here about your thoughts on the value of the creative writing process before we sign off?
Like I said, I think creativity in general, I think creativity is inherently human, and like, it's not something I think you can automate with artificial intelligence or otherwise. I think it's something you genuinely have to develop. You have to get creativity somehow. And I think even if artificial intelligence ends up dominating the creative industry, artificial intelligence will never suppress creativity.
And creativity is doing. That's you putting something out into the world that wouldn't otherwise be there.
Yeah.
I agree on that. All right, well, thank you very much for your time, Andrew, and thank you for a great conversation about AI.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to record a podcast like this.
Yeah, no problem. All right, take care.